In response to the preaching of the word, let us sing from Psalter number 30, the third stanza of Psalter number 30. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does our salvation have to do with our hands? Well, we heard it this morning that when we are called to yield ourselves to the Lord, meaning that we are to reach out our hand to the Lord, it means that we agree with and that we take part and receive the means of grace that He is supplying for us. And that was particularly in view of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the means of grace whereby we are strengthened in the faith. But this hour, we will not be speaking of our hands, but we will be speaking of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, more particularly. We must now, so to speak, fold our hands in reverence for who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and look into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ and see. And this is our theme for this hour, salvation secure in the hand of the Lord. In the first place, we will see then salvation is a pleasure in that hand. And then secondly, that salvation will prosper in that hand. Now, congregation, the text of this hour is well known to each and every one of us, and no doubt many of our young people can recite it off by hand. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Or you could also translate it this way: the pleasure of the Lord God shall prosper in Christ's hand. The pleasure of the Lord God shall prosper in Christ's hand. Now, this is an excellent text, dear people, to encourage us who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it is a long time ago or just recently. This is an excellent text to encourage us to go on in the faith. We who have been at the Lord's table today, we do need some of those encouraging words, don't we? And I hope to bring those encouraging words to you then also this afternoon hour. If it has been difficult perhaps for you to yield yourself completely to the Lord, you will need some of those assuring and comforting and encouraging words. If you perhaps have attended with a sense of your own unworthiness, and with the feelings of, yes, you know what it means to be poor and needy, as you heard last Sunday afternoon, what Psalm 70, verse 5 has laid out for you, then you too, you need some comforting, you need some encouraging words, don't you? Well, let us then look into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ as to what can be found in it for our comfort, for our assurance, and for our encouragement. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. Or hand, not plural, but singular, in His hand. Now, what is meant here with the pleasure of the Lord? Well, the pleasure of the Lord is the same as the will. That is, the good will and wise will of God, the Lord God. It is the good will pleasure, you could say, of the Lord God. And what is that goodwill pleasure of the Lord God, then you could ask? Well, it is this, that His Son, that is the Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be given to the world so that sinners might be saved. You see, God did not give His Son reluctantly or grudgingly. God did not give His Son in an unwilling way. No, but He gave His Son with pleasure. We all know those well-known words from John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Or those words that we can read from Romans 5 verse 8, for God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear people, therefore, be assured that the pleasure of God has been to give his Son to this world of ours today. It was his pleasure to send down from heaven and send him into this world in order to save sinners like you and me. God was not drawn into this salvation scheme as an unwilling partner. No, don't ever think that. He was not forced into anything that he did not really want to do. Satan did not twist his arm, and neither did the appearance of sin put pressure on him to react against his will. As you know, we sometimes have to act, though we don't like to, because we have no other choice. That's not how it was with God, not at all. He acted for no other reason but that it was his will, his good will, which is called in our text his pleasure. Now, when God saw the mess of sin and evil and the oozing abroad of perversion and iniquity, yes, we are told then in Genesis 6 and verse 6, and I quote, that the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. But at the same time, he took pleasure in doing something about it. We would say, therefore, in our words, he was more than happy to help. Well, let this then also be a stimulation for you who are still struggling with sin, who are still living in sin, perhaps, struggling with the consequences of your sin. God is more than happy to help you. He is more than happy to help you. Let this also be an encouragement for you as well, for you who are still concerned about the salvation of your wife, or of your husband, of your children, or of your grandchildren. God is more than happy to help you. It is his pleasure to do something about getting sinners right with him again. Be assured of this. He takes delight, therefore, in undoing what Satan and you and I through Adam and Eve have done in the Garden of Eden. God takes delight, you could say, in reversing the flow. And he said so himself. As you go back to the Old Testament times in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11, I have no pleasure. That's what the Lord God says. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. And then he, as it were, appeals to us, turn, for why would you die, O house of Israel? God takes pleasure, you see, in doing something about your and my bondage in sin. But the pleasure of God has gone even further than that. Even further than that. You have heard already that God has sent his Son and that he has given his Son to the world because of his love, and he has done so in his love and in delight. And certainly, it must have been a delight and it must have been a pleasure to God to see his Son to go into the world and preach the gospel to the people. It must have been a delight to God the Father to see his Son to go into this world and administer healing to the sick ones, to raise the dead, and to comfort those who were mourning. It must have been a pleasure to God to see his Son go out to seek and to save the lost. You can understand that, can't you? That such work of the Son was indeed a pleasure and a delight to God the Father. Just as it is a delight for parents to see their children do well in school, for instance. Just like it is a delight for parents to see their son and their daughter grow up and have a positive impact upon society, a humanitarian, a comforting, a teaching impact upon society. This, you see, gives pleasure to parents. And just as an aside, boys and girls, remember this. And the question can be asked, are you giving that sort of pleasure to your parents to your mom and dad that you want to have a positive impact upon society, that you're doing well in school? Can you give that sort of pleasure to your parents? Or is it perhaps that you're still giving them grief? Well, God certainly took pleasure in what good His Son was doing in this world. God even said at the very beginning of His Son's ministry, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In other words, in whom I have great pleasure. Humanly speaking, we could therefore say that God was very proud of His Son. And God had good reason to be proud of His Son, because He could take pleasure in what He saw His Son do on this earth. But God's pleasure even went further than that. And this is where it becomes less understandable for us. God even took pleasure in making His Son a sacrifice for sin. Now, I want to give you an example. Abraham, for instance, who also had to make his son Isaac into a sacrifice once. But we do not read anywhere that Abraham took pleasure in it or that he delighted in doing so. And you can well understand that. Of course not. Who would take pleasure? Who would take delight in sacrificing your own son or daughter? It's beyond our imagination to even think that. Abram, so we are told, he submitted to it. But it was not his pleasure. It was not his delight to do so. But here, God, it was a pleasure and a delight to turn His Son into a sacrifice. And this is precisely what we are told here in our text. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." You see, it was a pleasure and a delight to God the Father when His Son was despised and when He was rejected by men, when His Son was wounded and when He was bruised and chastised, when His Son was oppressed and when He was afflicted and brought as a lamb to the slaughter. It was a pleasure of God to see that. Yes, more, it was a pleasure of God to do these things to His very own Son, because we read that He, His Son, was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Now understand this well. God did not take pleasure and delight in seeing His Son writhing in agony and pain through the dust of the earth and on the wood of the cross because of some morbid satisfaction to see someone suffering. But God took pleasure and delight in His Son's willing acceptance of the abuse and the torture, so that by His display of willingness and submission to suffer and die, sinners could be saved. The pleasure of God was given in the hand of the Son, and the Son accepted it willingly, submissively. In fact, we can say, the Son Himself said it, "I delight to do Your will, O my Father. I delight in it." And so, it was the pleasure of the Father and the delight of the Son to go through whatever was required in order to secure salvation for sinners like you and me. And that pleasure of God, dear people, is nothing less than the salvation of sinners. And all of that pleasure of salvation lies securely in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, just think of it. Both Father and Son took pleasure to save you. And you can be sure that both Father and Son and the Holy Spirit take pleasure in you celebrating and commemorating what it took to save you in celebrating the Lord's Supper. And if you have attended with a desire, you are now encouraged to delight yourself in the Lord, because as the Lord himself once said, "It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." God's pleasure of salvation, therefore, lies securely in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your and my hand, in your and my hand is nothing but poverty and neediness. And you, no doubt, have realized that again and again during this week of preparation. But you've come to the table of the Lord today, perhaps even with words that the poet once sang, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I cling." Because it is in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear people, there lies the pleasure of salvation. Let's go on. Because secondly, the pleasure of salvation will also prosper in the hand of the Lord. And our text tells us that quite clearly. "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Prosper. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means to grow, to accumulate, to proceed, to go forward, to progress. Prosper. It means, you see, that your salvation in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ will not lie dormant. No, far from it. It will prosper in his hand. Well, what does that mean then in a practical sense? Well, it means, first of all, assurance of salvation for each one of you. When you are saved, you may be sure that you will always be saved. There's no possibility to fall from grace. Your salvation, it prospers in the hand of Jesus Christ. And he himself has said so, after all, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." John 10, verse 28. Once saved by Christ, always saved. And let that be an assuring thing to you and to me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, you do not need to be afraid that you might one day still perish at the hand of Satan. You are safe in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ for this life and for the life to come. Eternal security, after all, it is yours. It is yours. And that's something to be encouraged about, isn't it? That's something to take pleasure in, isn't it? That's something to be delighted in. Well, we know that the world offers many pleasures and delights, but none of it compares to the pleasures and the delights that a saved person, a person who is in the hand of Jesus Christ, will find. The world's pleasures and the world's delights are really rubbish in comparison to the pleasures and the delights that God gives us. And so, dear people, let me ask you also, and let there be a small application for you to think about. What are your pleasures? What are your delights? Are they the things of this life? Your house, perhaps, your farm, your work, your hobby, your family? Yes, all legitimate pleasures and delights, certainly. But you know that all of them are passing pleasures, passing delights. Because someday you won't have the pleasure of a house or of a farm or of work or a family anymore. And what then? If that is where your pleasures and delights have been, what then? You see, only through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ gives lasting pleasure. Because it remains up to death, it remains past death, and it remains into eternity. Perhaps your pleasures and delights, and I hope that that is not the case with any of you, but that they are still in of the ungodly type, the type which are corrupting you, destroying your health, shortening your life, perhaps. And I don't need to tell you what kind of pleasures and delights they are. But again, they will very quickly pass away. And again, I ask, what then? You'll be left as a broken, spent, burnt out shell of a person without the comfort of life and without hope after death. Let me therefore also at this time again point to you that salvation which can be found in the very hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. That salvation, you see, is a pleasure of God, and it does prosper in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers it to you freely if you would call on Him, even at this moment, a silent prayer. Lord, yes, I'm being talked about. I know what is being said. Lord Jesus, help me. Save me. Be merciful to me. Dear friend, repent of your sin and trust yourself to Him completely. And He'll take care of you because it is His pleasure and His delight to do so. Salvation is a pleasure to have, and it gives security into all eternity. It prospers in the hand of Jesus Christ. More yet, the pleasure of the Lord's salvation shall prosper in the hand of Christ, because when you are saved, He will then also promote in you a growing devotion to Him. How so? Well, the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards it. And that is how you and I must go on in our salvation as well, especially having come away from the table of the Lord, that we press towards that goal which Christ Jesus has set before us. You see, because salvation, it prospers in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your salvation is in that hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be a living salvation. It will be a visible salvation. It will be a hearing salvation. You'll be able to show it in the very conduct that you show to others. It will be noticeable. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you are truly saved, it will be seen on you. It will be heard from you as well. Jesus Christ, in whose hand your salvation is, in whose hand is your salvation, wants to see your salvation prospering as well. Not regress, but make progress. Not shrink, but grow. But grow. The life of faith, you see, in Jesus Christ should never be at a standstill. And you have been at the table of the Lord today. How has your faith life been? Is there that progress? Are you prospering spiritually and maturing as time goes on? Or has it perhaps been at a standstill? Has there perhaps been a backsliding every once in a while? A falling into an old sin or into some worn-in habits? Have you perhaps fallen somewhat out of your first love, I ask you? God's Word and God's Holy Spirit appeals to you at this hour, my friend, that you call on Him to turn you back from backsliding, that you repent of your old sins, that you do away with those old habits that have so formed in you, but that you return to that first love. Remember that first love you had when you confessed your faith publicly and you would do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Return to that first love. And therefore, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Because your salvation, it will prosper in his hand. And plead with him, plead with his spirit then as well, that your salvation will continue to prosper in your life as well. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I trust you find that an encouragement for each one of you. Because in that hand, and I'm speaking personally now, and I hope you can agree with that for yourself, in that hand lies my security. It lies my growth. In that hand lies the pleasure of the Lord. And I hope and pray that you can agree with that for yourself. And so I ask, have you looked at that hand of the Lord Jesus Christ already, my friend? In my thoughts, I see that hand of the Lord Jesus Christ raised in heaven presently. And when I look at that hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, I see a mark in that hand. And it is the mark of the nail that put him on the cross. And that tells us that your and my salvation is secure because the Father honors those marks on his hand and his feet and his side. He honors them because he took pleasure in administering those marks. He took delight in it because it saves sinners. And now I see that same hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, nail pierced and all. I see it raised in heaven again, as we read in Holy Scripture. And I hear the voice of the Savior say, Father, I pray for those that you have given to me. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Dear people, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in the hand of this great and marvelous Savior, who is presently engaged in prayer that you and I will be kept from evil, that your and my faith will not fail, that you and I may go on until we are welcomed by those same hands of the Savior, as John Bunyan once mentioned in his Pilgrim's Progress, that when Christian went through the river, who was there to greet him? The Savior, Jesus Christ, who took him out of the river of death and brought him home to glory. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen.